Rosh Hashanah is commonly called the Jewish New Year, and the obvious association is with the non-Jewish New Year that we celebrate on January 1st. So here's a question. Why are we celebrating New Year on January 1st? One simple reason. Originally, you may know, New Year was starting in March. If you look at names of months, December comes from the word deca. Deca means 10. It's a 10th month. October is octa. Octa is 8. Like octopus has 8 legs. Octagon has 8 corners. So octa is Latin for 8, but it's a 10th month. December, deca, is 10, but it's 12th month. Why is it? It is because originally when these names of months were created, the first month was March. And February was the one that is sometimes 28, sometimes 29, and leap years were done this way because February was the last month of the year. But what was the problem? The problem was that March 1st is already the time when in spring people have to work in their fields. And the entire economy back then was agricultural. And people who were supposed to work would party. And as you know, in Europe, parties are not just one day. You know, January 1st is the New Year's, but people usually wake up from it around January 5th, 6th, or 10th. So people would not work for an extended period of time because of the holidays. That's why they moved New Year celebrations to winter when there's no agricultural work to be done. So why is New Year celebrated on January 1st? The answer is because they just found a convenient date. And that's it. And there's nothing more to it. So what are we celebrating on January 1st? The answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing. What is it a commemoration of? Nothing. What's a historical value of January 1st? Zero. In the Jewish tradition, New Year, Rosh Hashanah, has a very important significance because this is the day that the world was created. And the creation of the world took place on Rosh Hashanah. So we are celebrating our anniversary. Just like when you start a business, every year you celebrate its anniversary, whatever date you started it officially. Just like you celebrate your own birthdays, you celebrate that day. What's the significance of this day on the calendar? Well, you came to this world on this day. That's the significant. So what is the significance of Rosh Hashanah? This is the day when this world came into this world. I guess I just said something which makes no sense, but you understand. So now we understand what happened on that day. But here comes a more complex question. One second. The Torah itself tells us that the creation of the world took 7 days, or six if you don't count Shabbat. So which one of these 7 days is Rosh Hashanah? Is it the first day? Is it the last day? Is it the middle day? And the answer is neither. Param-pa-pam. The creation of the world is celebrated, Rosh Hashanah is celebrated on the sixth day when Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, were created, when humans came about. Why is that? And this is a very important point that the Torah is making. This world was created in its entirety before Adam and Chava, before Adam and Eve. The trees were there, the animals were there, the planets were there, the water was there, all the gases were there, everything was there. But all this was meaningless. All this did not have any purpose, any substance. Why? Because only a human, when he uses these things, can give meaning to objects and to things around him and to plants and to animals. Meaning means a purpose. You will walk over to a tree, and if tree would be able to talk, if you'd ask a tree, what is the purpose of you growing here? If tree would be able to speak, what would tree say? I don't know, they just planted me here. I don't have a purpose. Now, if a person plants it there for a reason, then it gives it a purpose. But if wind just blows the seeds and that's where this tree is growing there, I want to ask you a question. Walk over to a cow and ask a cow, what is the purpose of your existence? Why did you come into this world? What is a cow going to say? Moo. A cow by itself does not have a purpose. If I raise this cow in order to milk it, then I give it a purpose. A cow by itself does not have a purpose. So this is why when humans were created, this is when this world obtained a chance of having a purpose. And this is why Rosh Hashanah is celebrated on the sixth day when Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, were created, because what we are celebrating is not the fact that matter came about, not the fact that trees were growing and birds were flying. We are celebrating the fact that this world was created for a reason. Judaism is a religion of purpose. This very point is illustrated by what we said before about the comparison of Jewish New Year and January 1st. Because what is the purpose of Rosh Hashanah? We just spoke about it. It has a meaning. That date has a meaning. What is the meaning of January 1st? No meaning whatsoever. What is the purpose of January 1st? Just to make it convenient to count days. That's it. It could have been any other day. Judaism is a religion of purpose. We believe that humans came about into this world for a purpose. We believe that everything has a purpose. In the secular world, people are not used to thinking about purpose. In the secular world, people are usually thinking about just whatever is convenient, and people know very well how to live a life, but people rarely think about why they live their lives. We, over the years, have learned to live longer, to live healthier, to live better, to enjoy our lives better, but we stopped asking the question of why, for what purpose, for what reason, what is the meaning? And Rosh Hashanah is celebrated precisely to remind us that this world has a meaning, this world has a purpose, your life has a purpose. The emotional and mental crisis that so many people are suffering today, especially the younger generation, is because they've lost purpose. Psychologists and psychiatrists and teachers and counselors always talk about it. Kids don't know why they're here. That's why they don't have identity. That's right, because your purpose gives you identity. Technically speaking, anything can give a person identity. If a person is a welder and he's a good welder and he is proud of it, he could say that this is his identity. And if somebody is a lawyer, he could say, yes, my identity is a lawyer. I know a person who is a very good doctor, but as a matter of fact, his passion is not in medicine at all. His passion is in philosophy. So this person, he's a very good doctor, but when you meet him, he doesn't talk about himself being a doctor. There are lawyers who, when they introduce themselves, they say right away, hi, my name is so-and-so Esquire. Hi, this is my identity. Or yes, my name is so-and-so and I'm a lawyer. You know, my office is over here, right? For one of them, it's their identity. For the other one, it's not. So in other words, identity could be anything, whatever you choose. So here is a million-dollar question. If you choose your identity, something that is your job. Now, I'm sure you're going to be very passionate about your job. I'm sure it's going to help your self-esteem. But let me ask you a question. One day you'll retire from this job, or one day you'll decide to change your career path, or one day you'll just get sick of this job. You won't like it anymore. These are all not identities which are essential. These are identities that you chose for yourself, and therefore they're not essential to you, and therefore they will never last forever. Wrestler is an identity that lasts probably even less time than a lawyer because you cannot wrestle when you are 60 years old. So an identity which you get for yourself is never going to be essential to you. Something that you choose, you see, whatever I take, I can give away. Whatever I choose, I can change because I chose it. It's up to me. Whatever I give, I take. Whatever I take, I give. Whatever I chose for myself, I can change it and choose something else. if there is an identity which is given to you from above and you are not in charge of it, this is how you were born, this is a much deeper, much stronger identity. This is a much more essential characteristic of yours. So the fact that I was born a Jew makes me being Jewish a much deeper identity for me than anything else. I was not born a rabbi. I was not born a father. I was not born a guy who likes camping, but I was born a Jew. And that makes this identity essential.